If you have a Bible, please turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 is where we're going to be today. We finished 1 John last week. We've been in 1 John for quite a while. Can everybody hear me okay? Good. Hebrews chapter 12. I hope many of you have increased your family time together these past 2 weeks with the coming of the Olympics. Me and my wife have. We've been watching a lot of the Olympics. Raise your hand if you've been watching some of the Olympics. Good. It's fun, isn't it? It's good. It's on all the time. That's what's neat about it. It doesn't matter. You don't have to plan for it. Just no matter what you're doing, you cut on the TV, you find the right channel, and the Olympics are on. And we have loved that. What I love about the Olympics so much is the ability at which the people compete and their commitment and the high level. And often when we play sports, if we have a terrible game, we're always able to say, well, there comes another game, or there comes next season. But the Olympics aren't like that. You have people who work for 4 years, all day, every day, to get in the best shape in the whole world, and then it comes down to just one little go. This guy is on two skis. He's been training his whole life to make it to this moment. He's about to go down this one hill and do a flip in the air. And if he lands it, he does good. And if he doesn't, it's ruined. And oh well, the last 4 years perhaps have maybe been a waste. And the Olympics bring that intensity, that fire, that excitement. My wife knows nothing about winter sports. She's from Ecuador, and I don't think she's ever been skiing in her life. But she would be on the edge of her seat like, Josh, watch this. JJ, watch this. He's about to go. Here he goes. Go Germany. She doesn't even care about Germany. Go Germany. And it was so cool that the Olympics do this to us. And the reason why is because we can appreciate how committed those folks are. There is an unbelievable commitment, work ethic, striving, effort going in to the Olympic Games. There really is. I watched the cross-country skiing. Those guys are going 18 miles over hills, through the snow, on skis with these two sticks. They're not running 18 miles. They're going with skis 18 miles. As hard as that is. When they got to the end, whether they were in first place or whether they were in 10th place, they were collapsing. I don't know if you saw that. They were literally collapsing because they had just gone 18 miles on skis as hard as they possibly could. And I hope you've heard me say it before today, but I want to get this point across today. We need to be a people in love with Jesus who are going as hard as we possibly can. And this sermon today is coming to every single one of us, regardless of our age. And it's saying, are you giving it all you've got? The question in the bulletin to go along with this sermon says, what's in your way? What's in your way? What's keeping you from it? Hebrews chapter 12 addresses that. Hebrews chapter 12, begin reading in verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. What a passage. We're not going to look at much in verse 2. We're going to stop at looking to Jesus, but we're going to look here at chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, it's a great transition word. We're taught in school to say, what's that therefore, therefore? Great question to ask when you're studying the Bible. What's that therefore, therefore? Well, here's why. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, you might ask, what is a cloud of witnesses? And Hebrews 11 tells us exactly what it is. Hebrews 11, I'm going to ask you to turn and look at Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter right there before us. Some have said that this is the greatest chapter in all of the Bible. This is a list of everybody in the Old Testament who had faith. Not everybody, but this is a list of people in the Old Testament that had faith. Some have called it the Hall of Faith. Not a Hall of Fame because they're not famous. Hall of Faith because they had faith. People in the Old Testament. And for many of you who at times struggle to understand, well, what exactly does the Old Testament mean and how are we saved in the Old Testament? How does that come about? Hebrews chapter 11 is a great guide because it is showing us all of these people in the Old Testament that were saved by faith. That's the only way you could ever be saved. The only way to be saved other than faith is by works. And nobody can be saved by works. Nobody's good enough. But that's what this is. I want to show you a couple places in Hebrews chapter 11 where we see faith. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8. And remember that chapter 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8. By faith, Abraham, y'all know Abraham. Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. There's why it's faith. God tells him to go somewhere. He has no idea where he's going or what he's doing. He says, okay, God, I'll trust you. I will trust you. And there's faith. But look what it says. By faith he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. And here's why we see it was faith again. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. See, there's faith. Abraham's saying, I'm living right now. I don't really know what I'm doing. God tell me to go somewhere. I'm going to trust Him. But I'm living right now with the future glory in mind. I'm living right now with eternity in mind. That's what Abraham's doing. And that's what Hebrews 11 is showing us. In Hebrews 12, the author of Hebrews is saying, you're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Abraham's one of those witnesses. Look at me at verse 24. This one I think is even better. This is Moses. And everybody knows Moses. We've been reading through Exodus and we just see where God parted the sea and allowed Moses and them to go on through. Hebrews chapter 11, starting verse 24. This is incredible for those of you who want to understand the Old Testament. Listen to what this says. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Look at verse 26. He considered the reproach of Christ. Moses. Moses considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking to the reward. It's unbelievable. Moses here is living by faith, looking to the greater reward that comes from God giving you a reward because you're going to live obedient to Him by faith instead of by your circumstances. It even says that. It says, choosing rather, listen to this choice that all of you could make by faith, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Don't we live in a world where everybody would rather enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin? I would much rather have this moment of what seems to be fun and happiness right now on a Friday night than I would choose to be in Christ, to be one of God's children, to obey Him. We see faith, but let's look at faith some more. Look at verse 32. He spends a lot of time in Hebrews chapter 11 explaining a lot on people like Abraham and Moses. But in 32, he starts to run off the list because he doesn't have time. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in desert and mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. And Hebrews chapter 11 is a list of people who by faith were living for God. And the list goes on and on. Look at all of those people. Look at all those stories. The Old Testament is much bigger than our New Testament because it is laying a foundation on what it means to know God, what God is like, the way God is holy, what His holiness is like, what sin is like, the way God feels towards sin, and what the way God has worked with people throughout thousands of years. And Hebrews chapter 11 takes all of those years and just, and brings it into one little chapter, chapter 11, and tells us of faith. And then so at chapter 12, the author says, this amazingly huge, make you nervous a little bit, make you perk up, get your attention and says, since you are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now that you're trying to live for Jesus, First Baptist Church of Fairdale, let me remind you about all these people that did it. Stopped the mouth of lions and were sawn in two. And denied the pleasures of sin because they considered the reproach of Christ better. Who left his house saying, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going because God wants me to. We're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And yet even today we're also surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, are we not? I think of the great challenge that we heard of Miss Ruth Reese just weeks ago. When before the doctors, the heart doctor, they say, if we have this surgery, you're probably not going to make it. And yet she would say to them, that's okay, I know where I'm going. I know who I am. And I know where I'm going. I think about Mr. Russell McDaniel, who passed away back on October the 2nd, who taught me what it was like to pray, what it means to be a man of prayer, who would call me on busy days and would say, can we pray? Would you come and pray with me? Taught me what it was to be a man of prayer. I can say honestly that nobody in my life has impacted me as much in being a man of prayer than Mr. Russell has. And yet we live today in light of Miss Ruth Reese and her testimony in the time of death towards believing in Christ. We live today in light of the life of Mr. Russell McDaniel and his commitment to prayer. Think about the youth that we have here that will walk to church on a rainy morning because they want to be here. And yet we'll wake up with a headache and not drive to work or to church. And yet we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And Hebrews 12 is saying just that. Let us call to mind that you are here today because in some little bit inside of you, you're saying that God matters to you. There's a reason why you're here. You may have just said this week for the first time in your life, I need God. You may have been in church for 50 years and you're thinking, I want to live for Jesus. I want to go to heaven. And Hebrews 12 says, okay, well here's where you start. Get the big picture. There's people all over this planet who are living for Christ. There's people who are walking it out. There's people who live by faith. They know Him. They love Him. They're committed to Him. Whatever He says, they do. Therefore, church, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Two things to lay aside here. First of all, every weight. Secondly, the sin. We've got to lay these things aside. If you're going to have a life that counts, if you're going to make it to heaven, if you want to be effective and you're here today, you've got to get everything else out of the way. You draw this back to the Olympics and the commitment that these people have. Think about the commitment that comes. These people practice and practice and practice and practice. This for hours upon end because this one thing, the 2010 Winter Olympics, matters to them. And so the last 4 years or more in their life, there has been a commitment. And they haven't been able to eat the way they want to, spend time the way they want to, because this thing mattered. And church, if Jesus matters really, if redeeming a town that so desperately needs redeemed, if we're going to see the drugs taken care of in our community, and we're going to see families restored, and we're going to see forgiveness happening in Fairdale, Kentucky, which we so desire, which I'm praying for on a daily basis, that we would see young people in our community not giving up. I played basketball last Saturday when it was 63 degrees last Saturday up here at the park. The boy was not 10 years old yet and was using words that I could not believe that a 9-year-old boy would be using. Are you serious that we live in a town that has so little concern for God? And yet we have a church that's this full of people. Are we going to make a difference? Here's where it starts. Let's get the picture of all the people that have done it. Let's recall to mind the cloud of witnesses that are around us. All the people in the Old Testament that live for God. All the people in the New Testament that live for God. All the people in Fairdale that we have known who do live for God. Let's get the strength that comes from numbers and say, yes, I'm not the only one. I'm not by myself. I'm going to live for Christ. And here's where it starts. Lay aside every weight. Not the sin yet, just the weight. See, some of you are wanting to live for Christ, but you got so much stuff holding you down. I trust there's probably people here today that haven't even had 30 minutes to read 1 Peter chapter 1 this week. Not 30 minutes one week because you're so much stuff. The Bible comes to us and says, lay those things aside. Make Christ your priority. Get focused on Him. Lay those things aside. He tells us to lay them aside because we're running in a race. Let us run with endurance the race. If there is something on you, you cannot run the race. In the theme of the gone and me wearing this mic, I asked Valeria and she talked me out of it, which I'm thankful for. I wanted to tell Drew to get on my back and watch me, y'all watch me run around the sanctuary with Drew on my back. For y'all to see how much slower it would be than me running without Drew on my back. It would have proved the point. If I was running a race with Drew on my back, would I be as fast as if Drew wasn't on my back? No. Everybody knows that. And here's the thing. Our church is running the race with weight on us. And you know that. You know that you're overwhelmed. You're burdened. And the cross comes to us and says, lose your burden. Jesus dies on the cross and says, give those things to me. Let me carry your weights. Remove that. We need to call to mind the cloud of witnesses that are faithful to Christ. And we need to call to mind our community that is very much so in need of God and without Him. Broken homes and broken hearts everywhere. Everywhere in our community. Take one walk through our community and just look around. But yet the Bible has an answer for that. It's a cloud of witnesses that will rise up. Be the new cloud of witnesses. Let us permeate, let us penetrate Fairdale. Not with street corner preaching necessarily, but with the good news, with life change, with love and hope, with striving for someone, with taking up their burdens. Since we're surrounded, let us also lay aside every weight. One commentator writes that the author of Hebrews bids us to be lightly equipped. For nothing more prevents haste than to be encumbered with burdens. And you know this. I will absolutely lose my mind when we pull in the driveway and we've got to get inside the house and I've got to carry like JJ and Eli and the diaper bag and the groceries and everything that we've bought. I will go crazy carrying all those things. I'm dropping stuff. The eggs are cracking. Everything I try to do trying to get in the door because I don't want to make two trips. It's hard to do that. So easy to make two trips. Take about an extra 5 seconds, but I don't. I try to carry everything. I'm so mad. I get inside, I drop it down. JJ, get in your room. Can't do it with everything. Gotta lose the burdens. Gotta say, what is my goal? What is my goal? Is my life for Christ? Do I also want to see the people around me changed forever? Eternity? We lay aside the burden. We also lay aside the sin which clings so closely. This isn't necessarily what you want to hear, but it's what we need to hear. Do you realize that sin in your life keeps you away from God? Keeps you away from God. Do you realize that God hates sin and those who do sin? Do you realize that we need to repent of our sins? Today is a day, and if we're going to say, remember I asked the question in the bulletin, what's in your way? Is it a weight? Is it weights and burdens that are slowing you down? Or is it sin? Is there sin in your life? Is there sin in the life of our church? You who are here, is there sin in the life of our church? And so all of the desiring and praying we may be doing to see our community redeemed for the cause of Christ, that we might see families restored and kids growing up with joy and happiness in the name of the Lord, is it being hindered and limited because of sin? Are you trying to do what Jesus said makes Him want to throw up? Are you trying to take both sides of the fence? Are you trying to make sure you get into heaven but also having the fleeting pleasures of the world? Are you trying to do both here today? If so, I want to ask you to repent. I want to ask you today to say, today will start the day. I realize yesterday was a disaster. I realize this morning was a disaster. And I know that the last 5 years have been a disaster for me. But today marks the day which I lay those things behind. I'm taking off the burdens. Here they are. I'm repenting of the sin. God, forgive me of my sins. I'm setting my eyes on Jesus today to be saved, to have life changed, to be a difference maker in our community instead of furthering the mess that it's in. One commentator writes, now, there are various burdens which delay and impede our spiritual course, which you know, such as the love of this present life, the pleasures of the world, the lusts of the flesh, worldly cares, riches also, and honors, and other things of this kind. Whosoever then would run in the course prescribed by Christ must first disentangle himself from all these impediments, for we are already of ourselves more tardy than we ought to be, so no other causes of delay should be added. Do you realize that God made you so that you would love Him? Just to leave it at that. God made you so that you would love Him. Every one of you. You and you and you and you and you and you and you. God made you so that you would love Him. So that you would be a magnifying glass displaying how huge and awesome and wonderful God is. That is the very reason you are made. And every single second of the day, 84,000 seconds in a day, every single second of the day that you are not loving and just treasuring up how good God is to you is a waste, an absolute waste. You're missing the point. You are missing the point to not be found in God in loving Him. He made you. And the best thing about God is that He tells us that your ability to be found in Him and to love Him and worship Him is what will make you the happiest. Matter of fact, the Bible says that. The heroes of old from Hebrews 11 prove that. This cloud of witnesses around us proves that. That Jesus is what satisfies you. None of these things that you're trying to be satisfied with do, but Jesus does. So the neat thing about God is that He has made it so when we give Him glory, He gets the glory through everything, it's when we are the most happy. That's what satisfies us. We read Psalm 16 this morning and it says, there's nothing good in me. And the last verse says, but in your hand, in your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand is joy everlasting. See, you're here today and that doesn't make sense to you. You don't get it. We're tangled up. We're confused. It don't make sense. Much. When we hear something, we go tell somebody else. Sins in our lives, like our anger, we get so mad, we get frustrated. We don't have the peace of Christ dwelling in us. There's also sins around here that we're so tangled up in, like, I got to go to church. I have to be there. Even though I'm in a terrible mood and everything, I just got to go. I can't miss. There's sins around here that say that if you don't have on your coat and tie, we're tangled up in things like how we dress and what we say and how we do, and we're not understanding that this is a love for Jesus because He bought us from our sins. And the Bible comes to us and says, everything that weighs you down, everything that is a burden, every sin that killed Jesus on the cross must be put away. Boy, and we used to ride our bikes everywhere. We ride our bikes all over the place. We try to cut through the woods and through the weeds, and this may have happened to you too. If you really went through a bad area, we shouldn't have been riding through it. The weeds and the briars would get tangled up either in the sprocket in the back or in the pedals, and it'd get all tangled up and you'd have to stop. We'd have to get off our bikes, which we didn't want to do. Everybody else would leave. We'd have to get off our bikes. And we'd have to start untangling. We'd have to get all this stuff out of there. Our bike couldn't keep going because our bike would be all tangled up. We couldn't even pedal it anymore. Church, we need to come to the place today where we're saying, that's what I'm going to do. I got to stop for a second. I got to untangle this stuff. I got to lay it aside. I got to get everything out of my way because Jesus is what I want. And see, I think that there's so many of you here today who really feel like, yes, Jesus is what I want. I want to live for Him. I want to see my family changed. I want to see my relationship with my children better. I want to see love abounding. I want to see grace flowing out. I want to be marked by somebody who has forgiveness. I want to be somebody who says, I'm able to forgive. You've wronged me? It's all right, I forgive you. We want to be people who are filled with the presence of God, the fullness of God, the gifts of God. We want to be people about God. But sin and weight and burdens keep us from that. We've got to lay them aside. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Here's the solution. Run. Here's the command of the passage. Run. This great book, Pilgrim's Progress, fiction story of a man who comes to Christ, and it tells his whole life of following after Jesus, of going towards the goal, of running the race. At the very beginning, when he leaves everything behind, when he lays everything down and he goes, I'll never forget it. I've only read the book one time, but I'll never forget this. It says that he puts his fingers in his ears. Sex is calling. Money is calling. Relationships are calling. Even his family's calling him. Nah, man, you don't need to get too into that. He puts his fingers in his ears and he takes off running, saying, life, life, eternal life, 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 eternal life, life, life. And he just takes off running. He says he's got Jesus and heaven in mind, screaming out, life, life, eternal life. In church, we've got to be a group of people who are saying, I've got a commitment, the cloud of witnesses compels me, the community convicts me. I want to be somebody who makes a difference for Christ because Christ deserves it. Christ is worthy of this. So let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us run, church. Let us run. And the neat thing about a church, and especially the great thing about our church, is we are so diverse. We got young people and old people. We got smart people and not so smart people. We got gifted people here. We got so much diversity in our church, and that's great. You know what that means? That means there's not a single person in Pharaoh that we can't reach. We can all write a letter. We can all make a call. We can all ask a conversation. We can all invite somebody to church. We can all pray, every last one of us. I had somebody tell me, it blessed me, the best blessing I had this week. I had somebody tell me this week that Miss Ethel Capel sitting over here, I prayed for them and prayed for them and prayed for them and prayed for them for years because of her prayers. This person told me that Miss Ethel was my mentor, and it's because of her. Let me ask you this. In a community that needs it, who's saying that about you? Are you running the race? Are you running towards Christ? Within mind, lives need to be changed. I need to be praying for this person. I need to call this person right now and make sure that they're here. Who is it that's being impacted because of you? Is there anybody? Are you even in the race? Are you so tangled down that you're like the runner that's already given up? You're not even in the race. You're not even still going towards the finish line. You've given up. Church, let us run. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Run with endurance. Let's don't run like people are going to give up. Let's don't run like people who don't know what we're going towards. Let's run like those who have been in this. We've been training. We're committed to church. The Word is changing our lives. We are real. We know that Jesus died for us. We call to mind the cloud of witnesses. We know these people who have finished with Christ. We're going to keep it up. It's going to be hard days. Easy days, good days, bad days, heavy days, light days, but we're running with endurance. And we will not stop until Fairdale is changed, until the church is full, until the homes are changed, where we don't hear about so many people dying of drug overdoses. We don't hear about so many people messing up on a major scale, leaving their families, committing sins that are horrible, and without knowing that Jesus has an answer for that. We are not a people that are here to condemn. We are people that are here to give hope. That's what 1 Peter is all about. That's why it's a great study for us. Because we live in Fairdale that needs hope. Our world needs hope. We need to be a people who offer hope. We offer hope because we're in the race. We're spiritually minded. We're eternally minded. That the person that we see here and the person that we see here and the person that we interact with, we're thinking about, are they in the race? Are they going to hell? Are they wrapped up in sin? Are they overweight? Are they weighed down by the burdens? Are they all tangled up? Let me help you get untangled. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That's the condition of the church, one commentator writes. That's the background of Hebrews 12. Let us lay aside every weight. Let us turn away from the sin. Let us get away from all the things that tangle us up and keep us from going towards Christ. This command does not come out of the blue. And you know this, church. This passage is so fitting. This ought to be a passage we all commit to memory. This is so fitting. Good for us every day of our lives. Let us lay aside everything that hinders us and let's take off running. Let's go. Let's do it. This passage does not come out of the blue. This is the point of the whole book. Endure, persevere, run, fight. Don't drift, don't neglect, don't be sluggish, don't take eternity for granted. Fight the fight of the faith on the basis of Christ's spectacular death and resurrection. And show your faith the same way the saints of Hebrews 11 did. Not by coasting through life, but by counting reproach for Christ greater than riches, than the treasure of Egypt. Does it flow out of you and who you are as a person that Jesus is so good you cannot get enough of Him? You may know a lot about me, but here's what you must know. I'm going towards Jesus. He matters to me. And I want Him so much to matter to you. Does your life say that? Paul, at the end of his life, he's talking to Timothy. He says, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Flee them. Get away from them. Run from them. Hate the sins in your life. Run." Literally, run from the sin. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you are called. In the presence of many witnesses. Run the race. Paul writes later to Timothy, he says, "I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I have kept the faith." Church, are you running? Or are you even in the race? What are you? Are you running with endurance? Have you laid aside the sin? Are you able to call to mind the cloud of witnesses? I want us to look at the first phrase of verse 2 and we'll be done. "Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus." Here's how you do it. Three. Here today and you don't know Christ, would you look to Jesus? Would you see God laying down His life for you so that every one of your sins and burdens could be put away? Would you see grace and forgiveness being extended to you if you would repent? The Bible teaches us this. You don't get into this race by wanting to do well. You don't get into this race by hoping that our community does find Christ. You don't get into this race by any good desires. You get into this race by repenting. You get into this race by saying, "I need God. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. God, today marks a day when I'm ending everything in my life that's for me." And as you repent, look to Jesus. Look to one who hung on a cross to remove your sins. And please know that the Bible says it is only through Him that you can have forgiveness of sins. Are you in the race? My desire so much is that we would really become a church where every Sunday there's a few more people being tacked on and we're in the marathon. We're in a marathon. We're running. We're not going to give up. Satan's not going to beat us down. We are going to work and work and work and work and work until the young people and the middle-aged people and the older folks find their hope and life in Jesus. That they know that He offers forgiveness of sins and life change. That Jesus is able to do that. The way we do it is we come here, we worship together, we dig into the Word, and we say we want to be like this. Church, will you today say, "I'm going to look to Jesus. I'm going to lay aside all the burdens. I'm going to repent of my sins. I'm going to say, God, I want to live for You." If you're here today and you're in the race, lay aside the sins and run with endurance. We're going to have a time of response in a minute. Deal with yourself. Pray to God and say, God, forgive me of my sins. I'm not even running. I'm walking through this. I'm like the kid that the PE teacher's making run the mile in middle school. They're never going to run. They just walk until class is over. I'm going to be the one that runs. Because Jesus is deserving of our lives and our energies. The Bible verse we're memorizing for Wednesday night says that for this I toil, working with all His energy, striving with all His energy. If you're here today and you know that you're not in a race, you know that your life's not for Christ, would you repent of your sins? Would you say, I want to follow Christ? I want to be a Christian. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that right now You would be applying to us the question, what's in our way? What's stopping us? What's keeping us from living for Christ? God, I pray that right now You would be convicting us, challenging us, encouraging us. God, that we would be a church, a group of people running the race. Oh, we got the finish line in mind. We can't wait to be with our King forever, Jesus. But while we run this race, we're running so fast, we are looking to pick up everybody. Snowball effect, eternal life, 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 eternal life, 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 eternal life. Be found in Christ. Have your life changed. No more living for yourself. No more sin. God, help us to run from it. Holy Spirit, work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.